A Benton Diary, which is by John Murphy, and we start with a poem, The Garden by William Cowper, and that's at the beginning of the article, and then it concludes after the article finishes. Well, one at least is safe. One sheltered hare has never heard the sanguinary yell of cruel man exulting in her woes. Innocent partner of my peaceful home, whom 10 long years' experience of my care has made at last familiar. She has lost much of her vigilant instinctive dread, not needful here beneath a roof like mine. Yes, thou mayst eat thy bread and lick the hand that feeds thee. Thou mayst frolic on the floor at evening and at night retire secure to thy straw couch and slumber unalarmed. During the very hottest days, we had to walk the dogs by around 7 a.m. The air was fresh, even if it was still warm enough just for shirt and trousers. If we and our dogs loved being out at that time of day, others had not yet gone to bed. Deer, large and small, crossed our paths, and a sleek, elegant fox slipped through a hedge and into the field of barley, and all manner of rabbits ran along the roadside hedges, sometimes more dangerously crossing roads. All this as watchful kites and crows ceaselessly scanned for unhappy accidents. And there are hares in ones and twos. When the thermometer rises and it's too darn hot, even in the best regulated houses, there's a tendency for tempers to fray and arguments break out. My grandfather had a saying to calm these troubled times. Let the hare sit, he'd growl over the hubbub, and generally sibling volubility ebbed and quiet was restored. It was a favourite phrase amongst my mother's brothers and sisters. It is said that the hare sits motionless when it already has espied a predator and knows it'll safely outrun danger. The predator knows the game's up and usually slips away. However, that uber predator, humankind, has long been wilier than most hares. Fox hunting was the cause célèbre of my school debating days, but hare coursing was also mentioned in dispatches. Jugged hare was still talked of as a delicacy, way back then too, although I've never eaten hare. I knew a rather good old-fashioned cook who used to jug hares in her younger days. I won't bore you with a recipe, as I'm sure the eponymous Mrs. Beaton will have something to say on that subject. I've always been fond of hares, and sight of them brings pleasure to my eyes and joy to my heart. And it is one of the wonders of hereabouts to have seen them bounding about quite regularly in the run of long summer days, and especially in the countryside beyond Yuan. They're such beautiful creatures. I've somehow assumed everyone else thinks the same way about it as I do. Assumptions are always dangerous things. Therefore, when on one of our walks, I saw an estate car parked in a field. Although I thought it curious or unusual, I assumed it might be a farmer. Just as we walked on with Milo and Finn ahead, I saw a horse and rider approaching us at a walking pace on the bridle path. We leashed our hounds of hell. Unusually, the rider stopped to say more than hello. The white estate car by this time had reversed off the field and had driven away into the afternoon at some speed. Our rider asked us if we had saw any dogs in the car. We weren't close enough. And she told us they'd had a lot of trouble with hare coursing in the recent weeks, and so we parted. And so I was sorry indeed that the hare was once more on the menu of sportsman and woman. And so I was reminded of William Cowper's The Garden. It meant so much more to me today than it ever had in those hot June yesterdays, when third form school day afternoons were filled with poetry without emotion. There was poetry in motion too. At last I've walked again that winding river path from Wallingford back to Benson for the first time since the weir closed. The evening was warm without being stifling, and I needed the torch on my phone to light my way along the path. Water lapping the river's bank kept us company. There were boats here and there moored along the river bank, and here and there lights on boats. These marked out the route, much as a tracery of faint chatter and distant laughter from them filled the air, interrupted by splashing water and determined birdsong. Yet though the summer light was fading, there was still enough sun to brighten the sky, and under light cloud to dramatic effect. Distant trees were darkly silhouetted against the flat, wide sky. It was startlingly beautiful. As we reached the weir, we thought the gates had been closed, but that proved to be a false impression, much to our relief. I'd quite forgotten what a lovely walk this is. So, come midsummer, I will be able to restore the circular walk via Howden Park and Cromarsh, over the bridge at Wallingford, and back along the Thames to Benson, to walking schedule. Milo and Finn will be delighted. I write all this from Devon. We're all back with friends near Dartmouth. The weather is better than last year, although squally showers suddenly make heavy weather from sunny days. Devon is a good place to make use of a National Trust membership. Overbeck's gardens at Salcombe are quite the sun trap, and even on the day in the middle 60s Fahrenheit, it felt as sultry as it looked lush. An olive grove and bananas, tropical ferns of every luscious type, and varieties of amazing cacti completed for attention. Along a walk down to the gardens with the dogs, we caught glimpses of the petrel sea in bright sun. We then ventured out to South Milton Sands, where Thirlstone dramatically sits majestically offshore. Our dogs loved the open sandy beach. It was almost deserted. Milo also found a brand new tennis ball. Finn managed to find a bag of chips. The accidents of retrieval revealing the substance of their contrasting characters. And so, as if on cue, came rain, and what could better encapsulate the English summer? However, in the long grasses and amidst even long horned cattle lazily grazing their lives away, there wasn't a hare to be seen. And now to continue with the poem. For I have gained thy confidence, have pledged all that is human in me to protect thine unsuspecting gratitude and love. If I survive thee, I will dig thy grave. And when I place thee in it, sighing, say, I knew at least one hare that had a friend.